I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Bam.
Congratulations. Your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition. How you living, Threes?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. We've got, well, we'll tell the people. So last night I needed some defensive advice for the flag football for the 8 and 6 year olds in terms of how to play it. We had a nice back and forth getting through some of the very base principles that we're going to use. Little scrimmage tonight for Black Cobra's team. We've got a game for Beamsy's team on Saturday for the 6 year old. So it's starting to ratchet it up a little bit here, Threes, starting to ratchet it up.
Look, you got to build. You got to build. You got to build towards the season. You got to take little baby steps. And look, I'm glad that you might be the only person in the state of Ohio that's asking me for coaching advice. So I really appreciate it. It made me feel important.
Nobody else.
It made me feel like I actually might know something about ball. So I appreciate you.
Would
for
be
that,
amazing. It'd be
that.
Amazing if you just showed up for one of these games, like coach, like Trestle, like vest. And just like guest coordinator,
it'd be pure joy. You know,
it'd be amazing.
It's amazing.
It'd be so amazing.
It'd be great.
Wait, is that what the hell is he doing here?
Yeah, what is he? Wait, what? What's he doing here?
And just have the exact same attitude of Luke when he coached you, like just treat
oh,
8 year olds the way that Luke treated you guys.
Oh gosh,
which is basically what happens anyway. That's basically what I do. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, you have to check your intensity quite a bit when you're coaching your 8 year olds, 6 year olds. I think it's, you know, you're just hoping that we can run in the right direction is
yeah,
kind of what that is.
Of course.
But 8 year olds, you know,
you want to
ratchet it up a little bit. It's starting to get competitive. You're going to kind of stick in the same positions, you know, throughout the season, and so the intensity, you know, at 6 year olds, everybody plays a position. Everyone's going to play every position, you know, so forth and so on. But at 8, now all of a sudden, you know, we're out here trying to win championship. We're raising men, so yeah, the intensity ratchets up a little bit. It's been fun. It's interesting you say that because this is the most surreal world that we're in right now in terms of. Half a toe in participating, others completely out. It's two universes, really. I mean, we live in two separate worlds, and it's I'm talking in the general, we as a society live in two very, very different worlds with two really realities. And some of these things, there was we're playing Catholic football because our original football league canceled, and so we were playing CYO football this fall, and the league that originally canceled decided last week to play again. Because, you know, they had canceled it 3 weeks ago.
Sounds
right. A lot of parallels. And you have Ohio High School, and the Browns and the Bengals are 9 days away from playing games. NFL is going to play a week from Thursday, 9 days from for the NFL, rather, and 12 or whatever for the Browns and the Bengals. So it's a pretty stunning thing.
Arkansas had no cases, no positives after playing a football game. So it turns out COVID does not cause, or football does not
football
cause
doesn't
COVID.
Cause COVID.
Yeah.
No.
That's a good sign.
It was never about the football. It was never about the football. It was never about the safety of the athletes. It was never about any of that. And it's been something that I wish more people would communicate, because I think that it's easy to just act as if that this is about the safety of players, or that it was about the safety of players for the Big Ten Conference. It was never about the safety of players for the Big Ten Conference. And if you want proof of that, all you have to do is look to the idea that they're going to play in the winter. How could that possibly be safe to ask 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds to play two seasons in 1 year? Because rest assured, if we're through this by next fall, or at least to a point where it's manageable by next fall via vaccine or treatment or whatever, if that is the case, you are playing all 12. And you're playing a Big Ten championship, and you're playing in a bowl game, regardless of what you play in the winter, because a lot of money is going to have to be made up. Mm-hmm. So the notion that this was about player safety or health is nonsensical, and it always was. It always was. And so many people are framing this argument that as if this was the decision was about that and not about liability and amateurism, which is what it's really about. That's really what it's about. It's not about – everybody knows that if you're a student athlete at Ohio State or any place in the Big Ten for that matter, there's no better – there's no safer place. There's no other bubble that's better than the one that they're involved in. There's nothing in society better. Maybe the NFL, what they're doing, yeah, where they're basically taking traveling bubbles. But aside, if you don't have – if you can't do what the NFL's doing, the next best thing is what the Big Ten was doing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about that. These people aren't dumb. It's not about that.
Right. So – to try to play any football, it would seem way more difficult to try to do a January, you know, season. Like, if you looked at the two proposals
in every way,
like, oh, okay, what indoor facilities are we going to use? Is that actually going to be safer to be indoors versus outdoors? You know, people think that there's going to be a second spike of this in the winter because obviously flu, but also everyone's going to be forced due to cold weather up north to get indoors and in closer proximity with one another versus being outside and being able to keep space, you know?
So, yeah.
Doing that in a football facility, obviously don't expect fans either way, but the travel more difficult, right? The everything about it, the logistics more difficult. The thing about player safety, two seasons in one, more difficult. So, it's frustrating just to sit here now and look back. I'm glad that it just took them, what, multiple weeks for the Big Ten to say, hey, you know what? Here was our vote. 11-3. Gosh, what was so difficult about that? Now, what looks bad now is Minnesota's president looks bad for saying, well, there wasn't a vote per se, trying to cover for the other guys because there was. I think that
right.
Penn State's president – look. Certain presidents, you know, we should have, if you looked at the tweets from these presidents, and the funny thing is that, you know, and I thought that Teddy had a really good point yesterday, like, only those schools know what their president even looks like, and not even all the fans do.
Yeah.
You know, like, so
that's right.
I have no idea who Michigan's president is. But when you look at the, essentially the tweets that he had made, we should have known that. You know, all these rumors about it being 8-6 and all that, and Michigan wanted to play. No, I mean, the guy tweeted himself that he agreed with the decision.
It was all there.
It was all there for us. I agree with the decision to basically postpone the season, you know, cancel the season. And then the next tweet basically being, welcome to campus, 45,000 undergrads. Let's do this together.
Do your checks,
those
cash?
Checks cash. Here's the routing right. number to the University of Michigan. Thank you for my right. salary. I'll
really
send you home
that
in a week.
45 grand.
Half. You know, like what? It's just, but essentially what you have is the schools that you thought were going to push forward. And if you pay attention to the scores, I'm not sure the initial phone call that weekend was 11-3, but it ended up 11-3. And I think that Gene Smith's adamancy about a couple things. Look, like it's been reported. He said straight up, like, hey, we have a national championship team here. You know, we yep. owe it to these kids to have that opportunity for not only that, but Sunday opportunities. Like, we owe it to them. This is a business thing for them as well to go and play. I thought that was very much eye-opening when he said it. I think also the other thing that was surprising to me, and it keeps this whole thing keeps going back to this myocarditis, right? So...
Mm-hmm.
This report comes from an Ohio State director of sports cardiology, Kurt Daniels. It says, 3-month study said that 15% of college athletes who had tested positive, almost all of whom experienced mild or no symptoms, were also found to have contracted myocarditis. And I would love to know, were every one of those people, did we know what the size of their heart condition was before they got COVID?
Right.
My gut says no. So this is on you're already jumping to conclusions. And oh, by the way, this study hasn't even gone to peer review yet. It hasn't even gone to other doctors to kind of check the facts, because my thing is they don't test every single athlete's heart size when you get to college. You don't get an echo right away. This is the hard thing that I have with all this is the fact that we don't have data. Because we need data to go forward, it feels like, but we don't have anything. So your two options are you sit and you panic, which is what the Big Ten did, or you play through and then you look back and you say, okay, this is what – and I don't know – I think we're all still – it's time's going to be told kind of like what the right decision was either way. And we don't know if the ACC and the SEC will play in the Big 12. Sure, it looks like they're trying, but they're having issues themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're having their own hiccups as this thing goes. But I'll tell you this. I think that the Big 10 could have released this information day one, and it would have been a lot better. People wouldn't have been happy, but they would have said, gosh, 11-3. It would have helped Kevin Warren's reputation, because turns out he's not the big bad guy after all. You know, those 11 schools now can yell at their president. Quit going to Chicago and yell at your president.
Yeah.
You know? So all the Penn State fans who claim that they wanted to play, well, apparently not, yell at your president. I think that was the fear, too. The lawsuit made them admit this, and there was a lot of, I think, of back talk. Like, I'm assuming that Penn State's president didn't have the gall to say to Sandy Barber, yeah, I voted against the season.
He may have said that to her, but he doesn't want to say that to his constituents. He doesn't want to say that to his donors. That's the damage that was going to be done.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Sandy Barber comes out and says, I don't think there wasn't even a vote.
Right.
Well, I'm sure that listen, here's the thing. Some of these people get in these positions by being political. They know how to kind of smooth talk. And
it's
they,
tone.
Oh,
it's the
gray.
Correct choice
it's tone.
Of phrase.
So instead of calling Sandy and knowing that she's going to be fired up, being like, hey, Sandy, you know what? I voted to cancel the season. All right, just can't do it. I voted. I couldn't do it. And dealing with that, you say, well, there wasn't even a vote, per se. You know, it was more of a conversation,
right.
And it was a general consensus. So then Sandy goes out and says, I'm not even sure there was a vote. I've been told there wasn't even a vote. And then next thing you know, it's because donors and all that's effective, right? And now it's like, oh, wait, okay. So how many phone calls does Penn State's president get in the day? Like, what?
Oof.
You voted no? You voted to cancel?
Yep.
Well, I told you there wasn't really a vote. No, it says right here there was a vote, 11-3, well, and you were part of
that
the 11.
That was the damage that we talked about last week. Remember in that response to the lawsuit, the irreparable damage that would be done if this type of stuff was all exposed? This is the damage. Is an 11-3. You know, the notion that this was, I think Dan Patrick was right on that Monday. I think he was right. I think it was 12-2. And I think we maybe changed our vote to 11-3 to make it 11-3 after initially being one of the ones that were opposed to canceling. And then it got changed to 11-3. And the final vote from us was 11-3. Do I think that they went around to go, do you vote? Do you vote? Do you vote? No, probably not. Do I think that they were all on a Zoom and said, yeah. You had three guys going, us, Nebraska, and Iowa going, you know what, we really want to play. And everybody else like, we just can't. There's no way we can. We can't do it because of health. Can't do it mostly because of liability. Because what if some kid's on a ventilator and their parents want to sue us for it? We can't have that by putting them in harm's way. Furthermore, if we make them play amidst a pandemic, aren't we saying that they're necessary? If they're necessary, they're no longer amateurs. That opens up class action. Those are all of the things that were in play. All of that was in play. And so the way that you get to 11-3, this all makes sense now. All the people saying, and there were so many people that ran with the 8-6. 8-6? You're going to cancel Big Ten football on 8-6?
Turns out you can't because it would have been over the threshold.
It would not have been.
What's the percentage they need? It wouldn't have been over that. So
60% or whatever.
Yeah,
and they had to have – there's no way if made up of the 6 was also Penn State, Michigan, and whoever else, Wisconsin, there's no way that those little schools are the 8 littles beat up the 6 bigs. No chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Yeah.
So it's 11-3, and that's the way it goes down, and that's where you sit. And so there's a lot of narrative here that was squashed, and we're going to get into some of that coming up next. And is there a road back? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that it's just to the point now where there's really no way back for October. Do I think there's a way back, and will they try to do this November model?
A lot of schools, Bo. This is not 8-6 made you feel like, well, maybe they could be swayed.
Flip a couple of them.
I mean, my goodness, man. You're trying to get 5 more school presidents who have already settled in their mind, we're moving on.
That's right. That's right. Lots to get to on the program today. Off and running on Tuesday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need or searching for replacement windows, check them out at windownation.com. They'll take care of you the way that they take care of us. 866-90-NATION. So not only is the Big Ten saying this, if you want to be one of those people who says, well, I don't believe them. I don't believe there was a vote. I think they're lying. These are two affidavits filed in court.
Yeah. This is not he
you think
said,
the Big
said.
Ten?
This is court of law.
Do you think the Big Ten? I mean, come on. I'm pretty sure I saw Jason Priestess, the founder, one of the founders of 11 Warriors, tweet this out yesterday, and I believe him. I'm sure he's right, and he's a smart dude. But when he said that the Big Ten's attorney is a former U.S. attorney, So you think he's going to lie in an affidavit? I mean, come on. You got to get over that stuff. Sometimes the truth is the truth. Beyond
maybe,
that,
I don't know. Maybe there's like the kind of maybe there's Epstein poll going on here. I don't know. Have you watched that?
Oh God.
I haven't gotten
no, I haven't. I don't have the stomach for it yet.
I keep hearing that it's extremely
have you watched
disappointing.
It?
I haven't, but I'm saying I've heard it's extremely disappointing to see how many layers of law enforcement and judicial people that covered up for that man.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I don't. It's just, I don't have the stomach for it.
This
even
is
when I go to
that.
Bed, I'm looking for something to, you know, get the mind, you know, thought provoking and maybe not something that's also too damn depressing.
We're in a great spot in the Americans right now. Great spot. We're still in season one, but there's so many layers upon layers.
That show's so great. It's so great.
They just tried to, they just discovered or are testing that there is a mole, you know, if you remember way back to that. And so they test the couple, and that's obviously ripping apart their marriage too. It's pretty, pretty interesting stuff.
It's great. And they do a nice job of weaving history into where you were in the Cold. That's a fascinating time in history in the early 80s, early to mid 80s with the Cold War and all of that. Russia is still pretty prevalent, by the way, in our country in terms of trying to cause problems for us.
Yeah. It turns out that, you know, it's amazing that you forget that you were on the same side once during a world war. And then,
right. But then, not.
Basically, the Russians were about to topple at Nazi Germany, and then we in the English and multiple other countries, obviously, and the Allies went over there, and next thing you know, it's kind of like things escalated quickly after that. Just what
yes,
happened?
It did,
but it's all right.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit of different ideology, slightly different between us and Mother Russia.
A little different way of handling it.
Yeah. So the other big thing that has to be addressed here. And I think there's no clear, I think it's folly to assume that somehow you're going to play in October. We went over it yesterday, kind of all the things that would have to happen. I saw Gene Smith in a text to Jeff Snook, who we've talked about Jeff a lot, and he's certainly properly sourced, saying don't pay attention to the nonsense, essentially, that we're working through a lot of things, but don't
Who's
pay attention
Twitter
to the
follower?
Nonsense.
The one Twitter follower that people are getting all Sir Mix-a-Yacht? No, I mean...
I'll tell you what. I think anytime a kid named Sir Yacht becomes the source
with
of the Big Ten, that's a win for everybody.
The first clue is no blue check, for one. Like, if I see anyone...
Well, I don't have one either, so I hope I'm relatively reputable.
Well, that's why I don't trust anything you say. I don't trust a thing you say on the line.
That's true. I don't understand why...
You know what you could do, honestly? Honestly. Every NFL team has somebody that's what... Like, I remember when we used to do players' meetings... They'd be like, hey, it's really important for us to make sure that we don't have fake accounts out there. So each person and organizations used to have somebody. Like ours was like Leroy Glover was our player guy. And he was big. Hey, Glove, can you make sure I get the blue check for this rookie over here? You know, so he doesn't have some – because really they're afraid that someone's going to do a fake account and then start, fake – I mean, who knows? Maybe we did have burners, but at least on a burner, you could be like, man, this coaching staff's a joke, blah, blah, blah. But they wanted to make sure guys were verified to prevent against some of that. Anyway, you could easily find somebody in the Browns office that does like their PR stuff and be like, what do I got to do to get verified? they're supposed to reach out to Twitter. And
I would think so. Yeah, I don't. Well,
there
I do work for two ESPN affiliates
check,
too, so you would think that all of that would either way, regardless, it doesn't bother me that
done.
Much.
And
you bring up a good
time,
point on Sir Yacht.
Just go to Jimmy's assistant. I mean, usually he's the one that probably got him verified.
Just talk to Will. We'll get it done.
Yeah, so you know his name. Perfect.
Of course. Come on, you know what I do. So this is interesting from the Big Ten. The facts are clear that there was indeed a vote that far exceeded the 60% threshold. The decision by the COP/C was based on the input of several medical and infectious disease experts in the best interest of the health and the wellness of the student athletes and the surrounding communities among the 14 member institutions. The Big Ten asks that the motion be denied. The Big Ten conference continues to share the disappointment that student athletes and families are feeling. The Big Ten return to competition task force will continue to be transparent and as actively considers options to get back to competition when it is safe to play. It's never going to be safe to play this year because you're going to have a January, you talk about flu season and all of that. But beyond that, there's the idea of playing two seasons in 1 year, and that's not safe either. So, and I'm not so sure. I think because we've seen non-Power 5 football be played, when Notre Dame plays South Florida, if that happens, yeah, that will be certainly an attention getter. When yeah, it'll be even more so when the Power Five conferences play. Notre Dame's an independent private college, in case you didn't know, and it's a university, and so they don't have to answer to a state. They don't have to answer to a conference. More importantly, a state, though, all of these other ones do. Most of the schools in our conference are public universities, right? And the yep, same thing with the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12. So there's a lot to answer to on these. So once those teams play, that will be interesting. How they get around the liability will be interesting if there is something that happens. And God, I hope nothing happens. I hope they all play without a hitch. And I hope we're, you know, honestly, I hope that they can play because I'll watch it. I will.
I'll definitely watch it. That's one thing that I mean, just hearing the noise of what's normal or what you would consider a normal deal, you know, as far as the normal game, the background noise, the band, you know, like I'm just here for the pads popping. That's what I need to do. You know what I mean? I need to see that, I need to hear that, and having that on Saturday felt really good on two teams I could give two craps about. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Imagine that's like Notre Dame, which is a school that I grew up watching a lot. To be honest, I watched more Notre Dame growing up than I did Ohio State.
I think we all did.
My dad was a big Notre Dame fan.
Yeah, for sure.
And unless you're from here, you definitely did, right? So nationally, it was a lot easier to see Notre Dame every week than it was others. And I thought the gold helmets were absolutely sweet. We were blue and gold in high school, you know, so different shade of blue. But regardless, the gold helmets were very similar. So I had a respect for that school. I told you the story plenty of times, how I worked out for Mickey Marotti there.
That's right.
And
that's right.
He basically told the staff, no, this kid sucks. He's not gonna make it in college football. Love you, Mick. But I think, you know, when you see those teams playing and you see North Carolina, who will be my team, like North Carolina is going to be my team. Texas is my team. Texas A&M is going to be my team. So, I'm gonna be very interested. Like watching SEC on the weekend, SEC football.
I watched SEC Now last night, and it was just thrilling to see people talk about. It was on the SEC Network. It was awesome to see. It was Dari Noka, yeah. Jordan Rogers was on it. It was just cool to see them talking about football, like the actual football. Like, how does LSU replace Ja'Marr Chase? How do they replace 17 starters, 96% of their passing offense, 86% of their defense? And I went, oh, yeah, football. Fantastic. Yeah. Give me some of this.
Yes. Wait, this isn't a rerun? Amazing. That's what I always find myself doing now when I flip through sports channels. I'm like, wait, is this live? Oh, it is live.
Right.
Holy crap, it's live. Yes. Studio show, which I never even watched, you know, back in March or last fall. But now I'm interested because, you know what? I've missed this for so long.
Yep.
I mean, it's just wild. It's September 1st, Bo.
I know. Yeah, it's go time.
It is unbelievable.
Yep, it's absolutely go time. There's one other thing that has been a big narrative that has been spun during this Big Ten, what happened here situation. And the Big Ten, by the way, still is not showing all their homework. We still don't see that. We still don't know what tests they're based on. We haven't seen any of that stuff. All we know is what the vote is, and I believe it based on the fact that it was filed, that it's two affidavits and that the Big Ten lawyer is a former U.S. attorney. So I don't believe that to be they would ever file inaccurate data. I'm sure that accurate is data, and the presidents are trying to cover for themselves. But one other person has been kind of the figurehead of this, and I think that probably wrongfully so. We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
the undisputed leader in talking about nothing.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up?
What's up, man? What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday. So in respect with all of this Big Ten information that's come out, and they still haven't shown their homework, they haven't shown the studies, they haven't had to yet. I tend to think that they probably have some things that they can lean on and say. You mentioned the report from here at Ohio State on the myocarditis. I'm sure that they have those things. I don't know that if you'll get the full detail of the reason for this, the full transcript of these meetings, because those full transcripts would, I think, would include some of the conversation about liability and amateurism, which I'm sure they don't want out there in any way, shape,
sure,
or form.
They want to keep that quiet, wouldn't you think?
Yep. Yeah, I think they'll work very hard to keep that part of it quiet. And I think, again, as I've said, we've said on this program for a long time, that's really at the crux of this thing. Think about this. The SEC is playing the non-revenue sports, even though the NCAA has canceled their championships. Okay? That's how important amateurism is.
Yeah.
That's how critical it is that they're playing it despite that.
Participation trophies. So it's like back in youth sports now. Let's just give it all away. You know, like, hey, yay. Right. You were there. Here's your trophy. Put it up, Timmy. No.
Right.
No. Did you try? That's a told London. If you try and you give your best effort, then of course you can keep the trophy. But if you're not going to try and you don't give great effort, then no. Daddy's going to keep the trophy because I'm not going to give you something for not trying.
That's right.
All I want is effort.
That's right.
Attitude and effort, coach. Those are the only things that don't take talent that you can control out there. Look, skill level, okay, there's some things that mommy and daddy didn't pass on to you. I understand. But your attitude and your effort every day is something that you can control. That's why I can't stand people
who
are like, well, my attitude, like I have a bad attitude because so-and-so. No, you're letting that affect you. You're letting
Correct.
That affect you. You can. It's how you respond to it.
See,
anyway.
This is why I need just guest coach one game. Just show up.
I might, just for my own personal ego.
I'm able to
at least get hired as a coach up there. I'm going to put a sweater vest on. I'm going to bring a
little tie.
Really loud whistle, really big whistle. And,
yeah, really loud.
Yeah. No question. I have enough coaching gear so I can pretend it's like golfing. Like when I go golfing, I look like Tiger Woods. I look outstanding.
Yeah.
All the years with the Nike account and the Under Armour stuff, I can look like Spieth or Woods in a second. What do you want? I can do the same way with coaching. The amount of Cincinnati, Ohio State, I have Pitt gear here at the house, thanks to Chick Harley. LB coach over there at Pitt sending me some
swag.
Oh, that's
right. Topper Harley's over there.
Yeah,
that's
the best part is that it's the new stuff, too. It's not the old Larry Fitzgerald ugly Pitt stuff. It's the new stuff with the script Pitt, the gray shorts with the Pitt logo like that. So anyway, I wore that to work out the other day just because I was all out of other shirts and stuff. So I wore that out in public to work out. And the amount of looks
that
I got.
That got some looks.
It got some looks.
Wait, is that?
Like, wait, what?
Hold on
This
a second.
Is confusing. Wait.
Wait a second.
No, it can't be. You play a pit? Anyway, so I can look it up. I mean, I can put on, I can put on if you want, the Cincinnati. You think I was an assistant coach with how much Bearcat gear I got. I could put the T-shirt on with it's like the rain gear, like the short sleeve, like quarter zip.
Oh,
like
you
that
love that.
Rain material, moisture wicking. I got that with the coach's shorts with pockets. All I need is a whistle.
I can get
a whistle here by Amazon here by 2 p.m. if you want. I'm ready, coach.
I think you're ready. I know you're ready. I know you're ready. I don't think Kevin Warren was ready for this. I think he's out over his skis. I think that the mishandling of this has been a fireable offense. We've said that many times. I do not, however, and I can't stress this enough, I think that he could be fired, and you could make the case that justifiably so, he should be fired for how he has handled this. The lack of transparency, the lack of messaging, the lack of saying, this is why we did this and we were right to do it. All of those are fireable offenses for Kevin Warren. I do also think that he was not the big bad that many have portrayed him to be. Because if you the idea that a guy who's been on the job for 3 months could sway 11 university presidents that have that type of power and represent that type of constituency, Kevin Warren works for them. They don't work for him.
Right.
The idea that he could sway them to play a spring season is nonsensical.
Mm.
There's just no, now, I don't know the man. I don't know his motives.
Right.
I know Bob does. Bob's done the homework, and that's fine. I don't know the man. I don't know his motives. So maybe he did want to play spring. Is it possible that he didn't properly represent the athletic director's feelings when he had the meeting with the presidents? Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. That's certainly possible. But do I think that even if he would have stringently represented those feelings, do I think that the university presidents would have been swayed by that? No, I don't. Do I think the university presidents probably knew what their athletic directors thought before they voted? Yeah, I think that they probably did. I think that they probably had communication. Don't you think? If you were running a university and you're going to have a vote with the Big Ten on whether or not to play fall sports or not, wouldn't you go to the guy who runs the athletic department and say, what do you think?
Yes.
I would tend to think so. That's a pretty open communication between president and AD, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So the idea that Warren was the one who steered all of this and somehow with, what, 3-4 months on the job, had the power and the gravitas to be able to pull it off? Come on. He's not Jim Delaney.
Right. There's no way.
He didn't have that type of power. There's no way that quickly he had that type of power or influence. Impossible. I don't buy it. But it's convenient. It does work well if you say that he did all of it.
Right.
It's true. And again, his actions are fireable. No question. But the idea that he drove the truck on this thing by himself and university president, like, yeah, we're in. Think how powerful these people are, how smart these people are.
So if you want to assume like who drove the decision, I mean, look at the big weight schools that voted against it.
Yeah.
Michigan, Penn State. You know, you look at Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Minnesota has a big medical.
Illinois.
I mean,
Indiana.
So there are plenty of people who drove that, and you say to yourself, okay, well, they voted against it. You know, like,
yep.
And then who are the smaller ones that don't really, I'm assuming Rutgers and Maryland didn't come in there swinging a big stick. You know, like, there's no way. They're not, you know what I mean? Like, they're a part of the conference, but they're not, I wouldn't assume that our other conference members are giving them, you know, giant leeway as far as, you know what I mean? The ability to do that. So this is, I guess this is very, it's frustrating for one to know that there's been such, the Big Ten itself, Bo, is to blame for all this as far as.
Yes.
They let the narrative get to this point. No one else.
They let it come to a point where kids from Nebraska are suing them.
Right.
All because they didn't show their homework right away. All because they weren't on the offensive right away and say, this isn't safe. They should have been screaming from the mountaintops, this isn't safe. This is why. Here's our results. But you know why they didn't do that? Because it wasn't just about player safety.
Right.
I bet everything I own on that, which ain't much, but I bet everything I own on the fact that the conversations
had. You got a nice palatial estate
out there. If there was a certain amount that had to do with player safety, there was an equal amount that had to do with liability and amateurism.
So do you
think they don't want that public?
Do you think we'll see now, like today or whenever, people at Penn State or Michigan basically asking for answers? I would expect
The only people that matter, I agree. The only people that matter will be the biggest donors.
Yep.
Those will be the only ones that matter. And the only way that they will matter is if they say, I will give you $50 million if we play football and you change your vote. And the only way that happens is if it happens at multiple places and if then you fire Warren and just make him the scapegoat for the whole thing.
And by the way, I don't think that's happening.
I don't either. Because I don't think anybody in these times are going to throw around $50
million. Right. Because all these people who have the money to throw around are dealing with their own layoffs and their own companies still from COVID. And
yeah.
You know, think about this. How many people who own companies that are big donors have people working in person still? Everyone's from home, but they're still paying bills on buildings. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think there's a lot of, I love football, but do I love it that much to try to persuade that in the midst of the pandemic? Nah, probably a little too risky. I'm not throwing all my money on that. And let alone the fact that you throw all this money, to go ahead and play and then have them cancel mid-season. You can't pay someone to say, well, you'll never cancel this season then. You got to start. Come on.
Yeah.
These people with all the money. Yep. And plus, we're assuming that all these people with all the money that donate to the school are doing it strictly for football. and not other reasons, you know? So,
not other reasons, yeah.
You know, and we're assuming that every single donor or booster wants a fall season, no matter what. I think those are a lot of assumptions that we make because of our love for the game.
Yep.
And by our, I mean not you and I mean the collective fan base of these schools.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. It's hard to imagine. So that's where you're at. To sum up, this is where you're at. I Sir Yacht or anybody else, the idea that you're going to be playing football in October, I think, without certain steps that we've laid out, it's really virtually impossible. Everything's on the table, certainly, but getting it done and being able to compete in October is virtually impossible based on everything we know at this point. Big money boosters could change that, I do suppose. Coming up next, some interesting news out of the National Football League. We'll go around the league coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are everywhere. On your radio. Online. The Fan app. Alexa. And behind you in your car. Right now. Too creepy? Sorry. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Around the league, certainly know that the Jacksonville Jaguars are tanking. Trevor Lawrence, the apple of their eye. Mike Tannenbaum on Get Up yesterday said this would be the perfect storm for them to hire Dabo Swinney as well. He's immensely popular in the area of the country. If you go with Trevor Lawrence right down the road to Jacksonville with all those picks and cap room, that's the ideal situation. I don't think Dabo would work in Jacksonville in the NFL. I think it'd be a really hard sell.
Nope. It's not. He's not an NFL coach.
No.
He's not. I mean, the whole, aw, shucks, nobody believes in us. Like, NFL, the guys in the locker room be like, yeah, no crap, nobody believes in us. What do you think? I mean, we stink. You know, like,
right.
It's just not, it's not the same. He's the perfect person for building young men, you know, from boys, from high school and through college. And he's right for that. But no, I don't think that works in the National Football League. There are guys that are great being college coaches, and that's not a knock at all. And there's guys who are better at the pro game. You're shepherding and you're stewarding, you're guiding young men when you're a college coach as well as teaching football. You know, in the NFL, you should be a grown man. If not, get out of here. You know, like there are coaches that you can have relationships with in football. It's not all that, but it's business first. I mean, there are great relationships that I've had in the NFL, like great relationship with Greg Williams and Frank Bush, my linebacker coach, and a bunch of people in that building. And guess what? Still got fired. You know, like it's business first. And it's all about availability and your obviously athletic ability, accountability. Like that's why there's awesome quotes all over NFL facilities that say the greatest, you know, ability is availability. Like if you ain't available because either you're suspended, in trouble, or injured, like, okay, spending time in the cold tub will get you cut. Spending time in the training room will get you cut. And sometimes just getting old gets you cut. So, bad ball. College is such a different world. You're developing. By the time you're in the NFL, it can go one way or the other, you know? And those guys are already grown men then. That little pep talk and rah-rah stuff, how's that going to do to a vet with four kids? You know, like, don't give me that.
It doesn't work.
I'm trying to win ball. I'm trying to play ball. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to feed my family. I don't need all this rah-rah team building. Like, look, we're pros. This is a job. Go out there and play.
The way you can do it, if you are, you have to be really, really bright. Like, if schematically you're a genius, the NFL players will respect you. And I think that's why Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day would do just fine.
Absolutely.
Going in the NFL if they wanted to. Because they'd see
they
their scheme and they
rah,
would go,
rah,
and they don't
know,
do that. No.
Right.
The other guy I think about for Jacksonville would be Harbaugh, if that would be an avenue for him to get back into the National Football League. Was in on the Dolphins job years ago. Would that be his way back in? He has worked before in the league at a high level. So would that be a way for him to get back in where he could build it with Lawrence? And I do think that they could go a college route here. I think this is a good opportunity to do it because they're going to pick number one 2 years in a row, and a college guy would certainly help in knowing all that talent, I think it would make sense to go that way. And I think it would be an easy sell in Jacksonville, which is a college town. I mean, it's an hour, a little more than an hour from Gainesville. It's a couple hours from Tallahassee, and it's not that far from the University of Georgia. And it's even though none of them are located there, it really is a college football town more than anything else. So it would identify and it would get behind, I think, a college coach more than most would. I do think that's true, and I don't think that it wouldn't be a good place for certain people. The ownership has a lot of money, and I think they're going to use this year as basically a clear tank. It helps that no fans are going to be there anyway, so they're not going to be embarrassed. So it's a clear tank. You go into next year, you're going to have the number one pick. You can draft Lawrence. If he decides to play 4 years, you can draft Justin Fields. Pick a college coach to go with him, and away you go. That seems like a pretty logical plan to me.
Yeah, and you know, if the job wasn't almost a lateral move or slightly down, you would think, oh gosh, give Nick Saban a quarterback in the NFL and see if he can do it. But Nick's older now, and he probably passed his window, and Jacksonville Jaguars are a step down from Alabama Crimson Tide. That's where the right money and the prestige of college football has gotten.
There's no question. There's no question. Speaking of the NFL, we hit the NFC South today. We hit 4 days. Lots of talent. It's possible that we tackle...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The two most talented divisions back-to-back in the NFC West and now the NFC South. We will get to that. Take a look at the Saints, which are basically Buckeye South. We get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Yeah.
Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, second hour of the program here. Continue our tour around the NFL. Just 9 days from kickoff between the Chiefs and Texans. Everybody else on Sunday. I will be interested to see how flexible the NFL schedule is if college football can't play, by the way. Like if they start moving around, if you know the other three Power Fives aren't able to supply network television and television partners with games on Saturdays, if the NFL will mobilize and how quickly they'll do it, I would think that they would. I think they'll be ready to do it, but we'll see. Be very interesting. This is the NFC South. This is a good division. It's a really good division, and there are. I think two teams clearly in this division that are Super Bowl or bust. There are two of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time now in this division. There is so much talent on the outside. There is so much talent everywhere that a team like the Falcons that's a couple of years removed from being up 28-3 in the Super Bowl is a total afterthought. And a chief reason among that is the team we'll talk about first, which is the New Orleans Saints. And this Saints team has been, frankly, a considerable choke artist the last 2 years in the NFC playoffs. They played at home.
Yeah.
They've played at home. They've lost at home. They had everything in their favor. They had a path to the Super Bowl with home field advantage 2 years ago that was a straight and direct path, and they blew it. And they lost to teams that I think in most people's estimation they shouldn't have lost to. And I do wonder what their window is here. I still think they're in it. I like their offseason. But how long can Breeze do this? It's interesting. He does seem like there's a pitch count on his arm. Because 2 years ago, at the end of the year, his arm strength really tailed off. And then last year he got hurt. And it's almost like playing with Bridgewater, because his arm was able to rest, he was better at the end of the year last year than he was the year before. Which maybe that makes a little bit of sense. What do you think about this Saints team still being in the middle of their window?
I think they're at the tail end. And by tail end, I really think that this is probably the year that if they don't get it done, it's okay, too bad. You have Drew with Mike and getting Emmanuel Sanders. You feel like it's the best assembled squad, if you will, you know, since, and really a while. Like, look at their offense right now. I mean, although they have some issues, buddy. Do you see the reports of Alvin Kamara, just unexcused absence, just middle of the camp saying, you know what, I think I deserve a little more.
I did see that.
And you know,
pretty alarming.
Right now, I mean, to do it right now, he's pulling an Ultimate Warrior move. So, I mean, good job out of him as far as bold. But I think, you know, when you look at him, he's a vital part, but they haven't been the same without, you know, with Mark Ingram
without
going
the hammer.
The hammer, and Latavius Murray can be that a little bit, but I think, buddy, when you look at this offense and you're saying, okay, Mike Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, they got guys, Taysom Hill will do his stuff still, Jared Cook, who's had a nice little resurgence there, play with Jared in St. Louis. There are pieces there where they're going to be explosive. Mm-hmm. They need more out of Davenport at DN to pair with Cam Jordan, and Cam's just an absolute dude, but they need a little more there. So, I think, you know, look, I do feel like this might be the last, because you saw it last year with Drew, stay strong toward, you know, in the playoffs. He doesn't stay strong. Yeah. He doesn't keep ascending through or even plateau. It feels like it pairs off a little bit. You feel like now he's throwing with more and more anticipation, which is fine. Peyton Manning did that towards the end, but Peyton Manning also won with a world-class defense, you know? Yep. So I want to say this is the last year that he's going to be able to basically be the leader in that window. Now, will he retire this year? I don't think so. I just think that this might be one of those like guys who are thinking about retiring. I don't see them retiring with a year of, how do I word this, exiting in a COVID season with no fans, right? Like if your career is playing,
yeah, you want the pomp and circumstance,
yeah. So, but yeah, I mean. Think about the last – it's not just the last 2 years where they choked. It's the last 3 years they choked, Bo.
Yep.
Don't forget the Minneapolis Miracle up there 3 years ago in 2017. Then you have the game against the Rams with the PI not called. And look, you can blame it on that. And this is the hard thing, too, from a psyche standpoint, real quick. They're either cursed or they're having like – they're getting really too comfortable with excuses. 3 years ago, oh, it's the Minneapolis Miracle. That's how we lost it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was PI. If it wasn't PI, we would have won. If it was the refs. Even last year, they have the same thing. Oh, it was pass interference. I mean, they had it. They pushed off in the end. It's all these things. Okay. Guess what? Still happened. You lost.
I think you could question Sean Payton a lot on that. I mean, he lost to two Vikings teams for sure that you would have said there's no reason. There's just no reason for you to lose. Mike Zimmer got him twice. So, yeah, I think that's reasonable. Now, both he and Breeze have the cover of they won a Super Bowl. And so that gives you a lot of cover. And they're really good. This is a really good roster. I think, like, Zach Bond is going to be a hit for them. I mean, I think that's a great pick for them. DeMario Davis, you know, I think Malcolm is going to solidify them a great deal on the back end. And you like what they have. Obviously, Lattimore's as good as anybody in the league. But DeMario Davis, ultimate pro at linebacker. So they've got a team, but the pressure is certainly ratcheted up. And they really have to. This is a Super Bowl or bust type thing. I also like the addition of Jameis because if can he be rehabilitated? And
right.
There are no preseason games, so we don't even know what it looks like for him down there. We have no idea. But that's an interesting part of this as well. Let's go to the team that they hate the most, which is the Atlanta Falcons now. This is a team, as I mentioned, a couple years removed from the Super Bowl.
Boy, do they ever hate them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there is. I don't love much of what the Falcons have done since playing in the Super Bowl and being ahead 28-3. I don't love the pick of A.J. Terrell out of Clemson in the first round. In free agency, it's Dante Fowler. It's Hayden Hurst, which is nice. That'll help a little bit. I think that the Todd Gurley, what's left in the tank for Gurley, is an interesting play out of them. They were 7-9 a year ago. It's hard for me to see. Boy, you lose Austin Hooper, who's a major player and going to have a huge season with the Browns. It's hard for me to see them as anything other than kind of treading water, buddy. I don't know. They're still great on the outside with Julio and Calvin Ridley, but I just don't see them as a team that's found its way really since Kyle Shanahan left as offensive coordinator. They've seemed pretty well lost.
Yeah, and I feel like if you rewind this a couple, like if you put this roster out a couple years ago, you'd be like, okay. All right, yeah. You know, Falcons have a chance, and I think that's just the thing, is that Todd Gurley, what is he anymore? Does he still have it? They replaced Hooper with Hayden Hurst with the trade with Baltimore. You got Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, which are nice on the outside, which are quite nice. I mean, but when you look at the roster, you know, it's like McKinley at DN, you know, they're waiting for him to be an absolute stud. Grady Jarrett's nice on the inside. Dante Fowler's bounced around a little bit. Deion Jones can fly at Mike and Keanu Neal. But can these guys stay healthy? They've been battling injuries, and what they need is a year of health. Now, I still don't know what – Matt Ryan to me is just – no matter how great he's been in his career, he still seems like a step below the Drew Brees and Tom Brady. You know, so you're talking about the third best quarterback in the division, yet he's great, but he's just – I'll put it this way. If you told me you could have Matt Stafford or Matt Ryan, I'm taking Matt Stafford.
Agree. I think you look at Ryan when Shanahan's not there, and it's different.
Yeah.
It's significantly different. He was the MVP of the league – with Shanahan as the offensive coordinator running the wide zone.
Yep.
So that, you know, that's where you're
well,
at.
Well, his system is absolutely, I mean, it's unbelievable. And you think about that when they had Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman and they're running that wide stuff and it allowed the play action. How are you going to cover Julio deep?
And Julio?
As a safety, how do you have your eyes on Julio and help support the run? Coach can't do both, can't do it all. And without Shanahan's system there, they've lost all that.
Yeah. So they are a little bit lost, and I just don't see anything with their roster that leads me to believe that they're capable of making some sort of big jump into contending with the Saints. They seem like kind of in a road to nowhereville a little bit. It's kind of what they seem like to me. So let's hit the categories. We'll hit them on the Saints and the Falcons first. Go ahead and hit the music chopper, and let's start with: could you live here or vacation here? Atlanta and New Orleans. You have lived in New Orleans.
Don't want to ever live there again. And I wouldn't call visiting there a vacation. I would call it like a duty. So like if the game
duty.
Is. If Buckeyes are playing in the Sugar Bowl and it's for national championship, I will go and I will drink, but I'm not considering that a vacation. Like, my idea of a vacation isn't a smelly city where I'm sweating nonstop. You know, like where you're watching boats go down the Mississippi. You're seeing boats go by you in the Mississippi taller than you are. Like, the water level is actually above where you are standing. Like, it makes no
sense.
We got a heavy rain. Sorry, have fun driving in 18 inches of water because nothing drains because the Mardi Gras beans are clogging the sewers and the rainwater.
You're not a fan.
It'll be great food. It'll be great drinks. I could live in Atlanta, but when I think about Atlanta,
really?
I think of Buckhead, North Atlanta. My uncle lives there. So if you're talking about I guess it wouldn't be downtown Atlanta. I'm talking about way up north, probably about 40 minutes north. I could live up there because I've been to my uncle's house and just the pines and everything about it. And especially the fall and late summer, it's my goodness, buddy, the fall's there.
Yeah, that's great.
Springs. They got a nice little deal there. But as far as driving through that city, no.
I couldn't live in either one of them. I've spent a lot of time in both. I wouldn't want to live in either one of them. I have no reason to go to Atlanta unless there's an event there. I'm flying through it and I'm stuck.
How about
it's
this
fine.
In Atlanta?
It's a really big city. I don't know if people here realize how, you're right. I don't know if people here realize how big Atlanta is if you haven't been or just flown through. There's three downtowns in Atlanta. It's huge. But I do like New Orleans to me, New Orleans is the same as Vegas. It's a two night in out, listen to great music, eat great food, and get the hell out of there. That's what it is. Anything other than that, I can't. I'm with you. And I've spent, honestly, other than cities I've lived in, I've spent more time in New Orleans than any city in America. No question. Because I've been there for 10 days plus with Ohio State football on two separate occasions. I've been there for a Super Bowl for over a week, the Final Four for a week. I've spent so much time in Atlanta or in New Orleans in my life. It's so disproportionate to anywhere else in the country. Do you love their QB situations?
If I'm a fan of both, I love where we're at because Matt Ryan is a former MVP, so you have to respect that. If I'm the Saints, I love it for right. I love your situation. You have Drew for a year or two more, probably one more year of really high-end Drew Brees, and then Jameis Winston, and some even think Taysom Hill. So you have three guys in a room where most teams just have one, or most teams are scratching for one. So, I do like I love the Saints. I like the Falcons.
I think that Ryan could have a late-season renaissance with the right pieces around him. I think he could. I like him a lot. obviously you love the Saints. You love what Breeze is. You love his work ethic, his accuracy, all of those things. And you love the situation behind him. I'm with you. With Hill and Winston, there's no reason really to think. You always thought that when Breeze retires, it's over. Well, no, they're not. They've got some backup plans here, and one of them happens to be a former number one overall pick who's shown a ton of talent in the league. So I like both of these quarterback situations. Probably why this division's so great. Super Bowl, playoff, road to nowhere, tank. We'll add ascending, too, because ran into that yesterday with Arizona, so we'll add ascending in there.
Yeah, I think Saints are Super Bowl or bust. I think that's where they're at. And then I think with the Falcons, I have them at playoffs. I have them with flirting. And that's if everyone sure. stays healthy and you
well,
get a bounce back
expectation.
Year from, yes, and a bounce back from Todd Gurley. I think they expect to make the playoffs.
It's interesting. Super Bowl for sure, bust for the Saints. I think the Falcons are almost in the exact same circumstance as the Rams, where they think they're a playoff team. They're probably closer to road to nowhere, but yep. they think they're a playoff team. Although I like their roster more than the Rams offensively, for sure. More than the Rams
and
roster.
What's unique about both is that they're both, like, Les Snead is a Thomas Dimitroff understudy.
Yep. Yep. And both lost in the Super Bowl. So yep. there's a lot of parallels between the Rams and the Falcons. We will finish this division on the other side of this quick timeout. Tampa Bay, the Bucs, what can Brady expect in year one on maybe his most talented roster ever?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
At least offensively, most talented roster ever. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Buckeyes, Jackets, Crew, and Panama Ted yelling about something being too hot. I don't understand it either. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, continuing in the NFC South, and we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who went from kind of this incredibly frustrating team to Super Bowl contender with the stroke of a pen and the decision of Tom Brady. Changes everything. You look at their roster now and you put him into it. You add Gronkowski to it. You add the fact they took Tristan Wirfs, who a lot of people loved in the draft, to help Antoine Winfield as well. And you say, man, that's now a roster that is ready to go. And it's still looking back. It's strange when I see him in that uniform. It was interesting yesterday when we were doing the, you know, ESPN had these teams who are Super Bowl contenders, and I still put him on the Patriots because I just you forget. And right. I don't know if we'll remember until they actually play and he's wearing yeah. that Tampa Bay uniform. But you look at this roster, it's pretty loaded. It's just pretty loaded. I think it's the best offensive weaponry he's ever played with.
Oh, that's by far.
Yeah.
And, I mean, outside of – because even when he had Randy Moss, who is one, you know, my goodness, gold jacket.
Ultimate weapon,
maybe the
yeah.
best, you know. So, but you look at the totality – this is right up there. When you have two Pro Bowl wide receivers, you have a gold jacket tight end. You have LeSean McCoy mixed in with Ronald Jones, and they've drafted Kayshon Vaughn out of Vandy. So there's talent everywhere. Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, William Golston on the D line, Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White, Levante David, Shaq Barrett.
Defense is good.
They have guys. They love Sean Murphy Bunting. I know that for a fact. And you draft a guy who is an absolute stud out of our conference, and Antoine Winfield Jr. I love their draft. I mean, Tristan Wirfs, one, Antoine Winfield Jr., two. That is strong. So I'm very high on them. And if anyone can figure out a way to get a team with no offseason, essentially, to basically take that next step, you know, with a new coach and all that, it'd be Tom Brady. So it's a very talented team, and I think that it's exciting for football fans to watch Brady in a different uniform and see what it looks like with him and the Bucs, and then obviously with a Brady-less Patriots this year. It's fascinating because you have, you know, arguably the face of the NFL switching teams, which doesn't happen very often.
No. Oh, I mean, it's Manning and Montana, you know, some of the all-time greats have done this at the end of their career, have switched teams, but not at the age going into their being 43 years of age. Last year at age 42, Brady threw for 4,000 yards. He took a 5 percentage point dip in completion percentage from 65.8 to 60.8. Touchdown to interception was actually a little better last year than it was the year before. Touchdown percentage was about 4, but they had no weapons. They had no weapons. They had nobody to throw to. Go look at how he played with Antonio Brown in the one game he had with Antonio Brown against Miami. And think about now having Godwin and Evans and Gronk and O.J. Howard and Bruce Arians, you know, orchestrating all of it in a healthy run game where I think they'll go running back committee with all three of those guys. It's dangerous. And their defense just flies. Their linebacking corps is as good as any in the league. I mean, they just absolutely fly at linebacker. And they're tough.
Team that should try to go get Fournette, by the way. They have a nice stable.
Yeah, here'd be another place.
But if you're talking about, like, hey, you don't have to move very far. You know, right. Just drive southwest a little bit and come on over from the east coast of Florida, northeast of Florida, come on down to the midwest of Florida, and, you know, let's run for a championship.
Yep. Conversely, Carolina is the other team in this division. I'm actually surprised that they went with Bridgewater. My guess is the only reason they did that is because they felt like they owed it to McCaffrey. And if they hit on it, great. You know, obviously Joe Brady would be very familiar with him. If they hit on it, great. Then they don't have to worry about a quarterback. But there are limitations to what Teddy can do, and they probably felt like they owed it to McCaffrey. But because beyond that, it's a clear rebuild here. This is, you know, the first time in how long that either Cam Newton or Luke Kuechly isn't on the roster. And so this is an absolute rebuild here in New Orleans. They went Derek Brown early in the draft. I was surprised they didn't go Isaiah Simmons. It seemed like a natural that they would go Simmons there, and they didn't. They went Derek Brown instead. So we'll see how that worked out.
They have one, and Shaq Thompson.
Yeah, maybe they do.
That's the thing. I mean, they think they have one. And when I was playing against the Panthers, and I was sitting up in the – in the press box because I was on IR, but as I was watching, they would line up Shaq Thompson at the nickel, at safety, at linebacker, so they believe he's that guy. Maybe they didn't want another one, but big Derek Brown on the inside is a nice pickup for them.
Yeah, he'll be nice, and he's going to need to be. This is a big build. This is another team that's in the running, I think, in the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields sweepstakes.
Yep.
It's kind of what it is. Matt Rhule, year one, going to get a long window here to do it right. New ownership. They're going to throw around a lot of money. So they've had a good run in Carolina where they've played for Super. They haven't won one, but they played in Super Bowls. They've had superstar players for 20 years. So, you know, it's and they still have one. They've got the best running back in football and should be the number one pick in anybody's fantasy draft in Christian McCaffrey. So they'll be a fun team to watch and grow. And if Bridgewater's great, great. Then they won't have to go quarterback, and they can go other ways, and they can build it that way. If he's not, they're going to be in position because they're not going to win a lot of games. They're going to be in position to draft, you know, Fields or whoever Jacksonville doesn't draft. Let's hit the categories on these two teams. Could you live here or vacation here in either Tampa or Charlotte?
Yes.
Both.
Yes. I mean, Charlotte is amazing. I would live on. I mean, give me a reason. I'll be on Lake Norman in a second. you know, their downtown's great. Been there multiple times. Tampa, same. I've been there multiple times. Where my grandpa lived before he passed, I played there. Both are amazing. Different, but both are. I could live a vacation in either.
I wouldn't probably vacation in either, but because I've been to Tampa so much, there's no reason for me to go back. But I could live in both. I think you could live in both. You have to be specific. I like your Lake Norman comment on Charlotte. And in Tampa, you've got to be on the coast. You got to be on the water because inland, it's just a swamp. Do you like their quarterback situations?
Love Tampa. Don't like Carolina at all. Teddy Two Glove, you know, it's going to be all intermediate and short passes. You're right. You know, if he hit, hey, you know what? We got a little something, but I feel like he's not a guy that's going to carry. What it does is he keeps you lukewarm. You know, like he's not a guy that's going to get you over the top, but he might get you to 7-9 to where you can't get a transformative quarterback for your team. So he kind of keeps you in no man's land.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Obviously, Tampa with Brady, you love it, and you love that spot. It's a 2-year window for him and them. There's nobody behind him, so you know that'll be something that they'll have to identify in maybe next year's draft or something because they're young everywhere else. And as for you know Teddy, it's fine. I think you hit on it though. You worry about it. Them inching closer to the road to nowhere than tank, which gets us to Super Bowl playoff ascending road to nowhere or tank.
Buccaneers are obvious Super Bowl or bust. I think the Panthers on a road to nowhere. Road to nowhere.
That would be bad.
And they're not busting because they paid Teddy, but they're on the road to nowhere. They're lukewarm.
Yeah, it's a tough. I think you're probably no question right about the Bucs, and they were so close to a tank with Tampa. Or I'm sorry, with Carolina. Like they could have played Greer or Allen, and then they would have tanked. But I just don't. I wonder if they just they couldn't look Christian McCaffrey in the eyes and do that. Like you're gonna touch it 400 right. times while we go 2-14.
Right.
I think that's a tough thing for a super duper star to take. So you bring in Teddy, and you can have a little bit of belief, but that may cost you. Because, you know, it's hard for me to imagine them better than 5-11, which is what they were last year. Hard to imagine it. We'll get some
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Perspective on this division coming up next. John Hendricks will join us, lead reporter for Saints News at Sports Illustrated. That's coming up next. Bishop Lauren Ines, Radio on the Fan.
This is Ohio State basketball coach Chris Holtman on your home for Buckeye basketball, The Fan.
The Fan.
Ohio's sports destination.
The finest distillation of sports talk in all of Ohio. This is Bishop and Lauren Ines.
Bill Bishop, James Laurinaitis with you here on a Tuesday edition. Let's head on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. John Hendricks joins us, lead reporter for Saints News at Sports Illustrated. John, thanks for the time. Let's just jump right in with the team that you cover on the daily basis, the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, three straight crippling losses in the playoffs. Last couple of years at home, 2 years ago with home field throughout. And you say to yourself, the window, how much of it is still open? How much does Drew Brees have left in the tank? I look at the roster, looks like a Super Bowl or bust situation. Is that the feeling down there, and is the pressure mounting at all on Sean and Drew to make sure that they get that done this year?
Yeah, look, I would tell you that definitely that's the way you look at it. It's definitely Super Bowl or bust window. I think this is one of their final chances, and obviously their best chance to do it with their 2017 draft class intact. So, look, I don't know if I'd say that the pressure is on Sean Payton and Drew Brees a lot, but, you know, those guys have handled pressure situations before, and, look, I know that they've learned a lot from the playoff exits, a lot from each other, a lot from their team. So, look, I think they've got one of the best top-to-bottom rosters in the NFL, so I think they're most equipped to make a run at it. They just got to make sure that they exercise those playoff demons.
John, how much longer are they going to be in this window with Drew? I mean, you see him every day. How's that shoulder? How's the arm? Obviously had an injury last year, but how much longer is this window, do you believe, for the Saints?
Well, look, I can tell you that he takes care of himself, and you probably know this too, James, is that he takes care of himself extremely well.
Yeah,
he's
better than anyone.
Very good himself, and look, his arm looks amazing. I mean, he's throwing 40-yard passes like they're nothing. I mean, effortlessly, and so you definitely want to see. That's encouraging to see that from him. Again, he's got those four kids. He's got a wife. He's always active. So, look, I mean, when people ask the question, again, you know, you see him, and he's extremely well put together and takes care of himself. So, look, I think for him, a lot of people think this might be his last year. And, again, this is probably a talk we've had for the past, what, 3 or 4 seasons. I think they realistically might have a 2-year shot at this. But, you know, if you talk to Drew and you talk to people, this is the year. They're not looking past this year. And this is the time that they got to put it all together. And so I know Drew has a lot of hand in that. And so physically and his arm looks great so far.
John, before we move on to the other teams this division, kind of get a big picture look at the division. What are you hearing on Jameis? How's he look? Have you seen him? What is the team saying about him? It's former number one overall pick who has had quite a bit of success in this league, despite the interception problem, obviously, last year that manifested.
Yeah, look, Jameis Winston has fit in amazing. And he just looks comfortable here. Obviously, he had the LASIK surgery. That's a big thing. And then, you know, he slimmed down a lot, kind of went to more of a plant-based diet, if you will, and mixed in with some vegan. So, look, he looks great. And, you know, again, he's had his share of struggles, but the thing that I like most about it, and this is something that Drew Brees had shared with us, is the fact of his willingness, you know, during all this COVID stuff. Obviously, you don't get to go into see a whole bunch of the film room, see a whole bunch of the film rooms and be a place when he joined this team. So, look, very intelligent. Very
basically, that Tampa and everybody else is playing for second. Is that a theme from Sean? Is that a top-down thing? Is it just a confidence in his own squad? But I've been in a locker room with Cam. He's always been confident, but it feels like this year more than ever, I think, with Tom going to Tampa Bay, that he's making it a statement of, like, no, we're still the Kings down here in the South.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, and you know Cam, that's just how he is, right? And I don't think you'll ever get a lot of that from Sean, but, you know, with the Saints, look, they three straight winners, and the three straight division title winners. So, I mean, look, they're the Kings right now, and they got to have somebody that, you know, dethrones them, if you will. And I know, and I get all the Tampa Bay Buccaneer hype, but, you know, I think Atlanta's probably the legitimate number two threat there just because of their talent. I think it's more of a situation where they're just, you know, for whatever reason, it's coaching or whatever. But, look, you know, again, if this is Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, LeSean McCoy, all these guys from, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, I think it'd be a lot more cause for concern, and I think they'll be a better football team, but they still have a lot of question marks, you know, along their offensive line and then their secondary especially. So, you know, the Brady and them, they'll win some games by themselves, but look, they still have a lot to figure out. But I think Cam's right. They're the Kings right now until somebody else comes and takes the crown from them.
John, I that's surprising to me. I think Tampa Bay's pretty loaded, even beyond the Brady and Gronk situation, just with the talent they have on the outside, the talent they have at tight end, what they did in the draft, and at linebacker, certainly up front. They seem to be about as good as anybody. But what I'm more interested in is what you like so much about Atlanta specifically, because I see more holes in their roster maybe.
Yeah, look, and what I say, you know, with the Buccaneers, I think their secondary is the problem, and then their offensive line has got some work. But, you know, with the Falcons, again, their roster, again, you're talking about Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. We know they can move the ball downfield. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on Todd Gurley, and obviously with him having some injuries, you know, a little bit of a setback. But, you know, defensively, they have a good level of talent is what I would tell you. And, again, maybe it's been totally inconsistent from year to year. But again, when you look at this roster, you see guys like Dante Fowler Jr. could bring something to the table. And you know what you get with Deion Jones and other guys like that. I think they've got a lot of depth behind some of those starters that can help them out a little bit more. They just got to put it together, in my opinion.
John, what's the biggest hole do you see right now on that Saints team? You know, what's the one position maybe? Because I like with how that roster is assembled. It seems to have leaders and experience across the board. And when you see Malcolm Jenkins there in the back end, Britt coming back, I mean, I know that's a guy that Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton regret letting go the first time. But I just see leadership everywhere. But where is a spot where you're saying, you know what, if we don't see a jump in X player, you know, this might be a position of weakness for us?
Yeah, look, I think there's two spots you look at. I think the wide receiver battle besides Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders is what you got to look at. You know, Tre'Quan Smith is kind of had an off and on type of couple of years. And so, look, from a number three wideout production perspective and the guys that are 4 and 5 on that team, you know, you definitely want to see them when they're called upon deliver in those aspects. And, you know, Mickey Loomis and the coaches think a world of Tre'Quan Smith. Drew Brees thinks that he has a breakout year ahead of him. So, look, if they can get that, then that's going to take the pressure off of guys like Thomas and Sanders. And then you also got those other weapons like Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, however they choose to use Taysom Hill, and then Josh Hill, who's very underrated. So, look, I think that's where you would look at it from the offensive perspective. And then defensively, just the linebacking core, you know, just because of the durability right there. You know what you have with DeMario Davis. You know what you have with Craig Robertson. But, you know, when you talk about guys like Kiko Alonso that are coming back from a devastating injury, or Alex Anzalone, and then even Caden Ellis, a guy who plays special teams, you know, those are the only big question marks that I'd say is, you know, just are they going to be built to last an entire season? And, you know, the Saints need Alex Anzalone. They need Kiko Alonso in the mix. And DeMario Davis is a guy who's a stud for them. But if you look at it, linebacker and wide receiver, just more the depth positions is what I would be more concerned about for the team.
John Edwards, we appreciate your time and your expertise and sharing a little bit of with us today. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. That's John Hendricks, lead writer for Saint News at Sports Illustrated. All right, threes, how do you have this division shaking out?
So I have the Saints winning it closely. I think Saints and Bucks make the playoff. Falcons just miss, kind of flirt with 500, and then the Panthers are 2-14 or something like that.
Yeah, I would flip. I'm going to flip the top two, so I will go Tampa Bay winning the division. I'll have New Orleans second. I think they could be both be 12-4, something
true.
Like that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of wins at the top.
It'll be
of
really
this division.
Close.
Yeah, Atlanta could be something in the. I think running it back a 7-9, 8-8 situation for Atlanta, and I'm with you, Carolina. And one thing that we've noticed, because these are two toughest divisions of the NFC, that a lot of losses are going to have to start stacking up in the NFC East and the NFC North to make up for all of the wins that are stacking.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Up in the NFC West and the NFC South.
Yeah.
So there's some bad teams that we're going to get to over the next couple of days when we do the North and when we do the East. Coming up next, we hit Thing or Not a Thing. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Radio. It opens your mind to stimulating conversation and live sports. And best of all, it still costs $0. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Chops is here as well. Time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Go Choppa.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or Not a Thing.
All right, here I am back to producer. Last night.
Oh, if you're big time in the wheelchair.
Oh, gosh. Self-promotion just continues for Chopper.
Oh, the ego on the Chopper. Give him a microphone for a couple hours and look out, ladies.
Last night, Jimmy Butler became just the third Miami Heat player to score 40 points in a playoff game, joining LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a thing because of how good Miami is. And they kind of are a kryptonite for Milwaukee in that they can run Bam Adebayo at the Greek Freak, and it's a problem. And Miami, they have drafted incredibly well. Like, Tyler Hero's a star. Adebayo's a star. Like, they are long, they are athletic, they can shoot, they're deep. They are a problem. They can absolutely win the East. They're going to be really good for a long time. And the bigger thing that maybe comes of this is they are the perfect landing spot for Giannis when he becomes a free agent. It's been rumored forever. You drop him on that roster, and then you're going to start hanging banners left and right.
Oh, man. Come on. You can't do it if you can't beat them, join them thing, Giannis. You got to at least beat them this year and then join them. You know, how then let them get over the hump. I struggle with NBA stuff like this because, you know, you see a team lose game one, and you're like, oh, are they in trouble? I'll take your word for it that Miami's as deep as they are. My question, can Jimmy get them 40 a night? Does he need to get them 40 a night for
he
them
doesn't
to win?
Need
I guess
to.
It's the first.
No.
He doesn't need to.
Okay. He doesn't need to. Nope. No, they've got a lot of people. Like, Dragic was great yesterday. They're fun. They're fun. Really fun to watch. They play the right way.
All right.
Adam Schefter reporting that Chargers safety Derwin James needs surgery on his right knee and is expected to miss 6 to 8 months. Thing or not a thing?
Oh, big thing.
Yeah.
You know, he has trouble being healthy. When I saw Jalen Ramsey tweet that I got your back this year, they're best friends. They both played on the same team at Florida State. By the way, that FSU team, if you want to think about a team that doesn't maybe get enough credit for how talented it was,
yeah,
go look at 14-15 Florida State, or 13-14 yeah, Florida State that had Jameis, had Derwin James, had Jalen Ramsey, among others. Tevin Smith on the, I mean, just loaded.
Was the Marcus Joyner on there?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, there certainly was crossover on those, but they were just absolutely loaded. But this is devastating for them. And with him, I didn't think they were a Super Bowl contender because of the quarterback situation. Without him, it's just another huge blow to the back end of their defense.
This stinks because we're missing, as football fans, one of the most dynamic players on a defensive football field in the NFL. You know, like,
that's
the stuff
right
that he can do. I'm not sure everyone really truly knows it because of where he plays, and then obviously getting injured a year ago. But he's basically a version of Isaiah Simmons, and we're not being able to see it.
The Kansas City Chiefs have reportedly reached contract extensions through 2025 with head coach Andy Reid and general manager Brett Veach. Thing or not a thing?
Big thing. big thing. The Hunt family, who I think did a pretty good job here with the crew, despite some tough circumstances earlier, everything up until the sale to Precourt, has handled themselves very. Clark Hunt's crushed this. He's think about the money he put in escrow this summer alone for who he had to pay. With all of that guaranteed money that he did. And now to get these two locked up long-term, they've got a chance to have a Brady Belichickian-type run here with these guys all working together in concert. They do. And Andy Reid's the boss. Veach is, you know, it's under Andy. So it's a pretty smart thing that they have going.
If there was ever an opportunity for someone to kind of seize that dynasty type of success, now I don't know if they can do it as long as the Patriots, but they'll have the quarterback. They'll have the quarterback for the same amount of length due to his extension. So it's exciting to see. And you can't be happier for a guy than Andy Reid and what he's gone through in his career to finally be in this situation.
This tweet from the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson. Miami OC Rhett Lashley says, Kane's not ready to announce Derek King's backup. We've heard Perry and Van Dyke have both received some second-team snaps. Perry's experience is a huge factor working to his advantage. Van Dyke has impressed everyone. Thing or not a thing?
Isn't he a receiver now? Tate?
Who knows? Tathan?
Isn't he a receiver?
Tathan Martell?
Look, I'm not. To me, I think we're all too hard on that kid. We're part of the problem. Right, we use his fame and celebrity.
Yeah,
we use his fame and celebrity to help recruit that class. He was, you know, was never somebody who was on the level of the talent at quarterback that was going to be, you know, a player. You could see that right away. He just wasn't. He was never. You could see that. I remember they did something. It was him, Danny Clark, and Emery Jones. Remember him? They were all at a Friday Night Lights in the summer, and you looked, and I went, "There's no way Martell's ever going to play," and that was just because of Emery Jones,
right?
Let alone Justin Fields and everything that's happened since. So, you know, it was he's kind of a Instagram QB.
Yeah.
Is what he is. It's, you know, he's not helping himself with the way he carries himself, but you know, he's just not a Division I quarterback.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And you can feel bad for him because the peak of his celebrity is the high school series.
Yeah.
You know, that's tough to deal with when you're really young.
Yeah, and you live in a silo where you have a couple hundred thousand followers on your social media channels, and you think you're really important, and people tell you how great you are, and then the reality
some paid for that did come out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Last one: the best damn band in the land released a teaser video of a maybe virtual performance. The tweet said, "If you don't have any popcorn at home, you're going to want to get some ready for Thursday." Hashtag TBDBITL141.
Jeez, the
thing or not a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It just seems so... I don't know if I can even watch the band without football, to be honest.
I know for a fact.
I mean, I love them. But, like,
they're great.
It's part of the football. Like, independently, I don't even know how I would view it.
Doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't work for me.
I love good for them for trying, but it just salts the wound that we don't have football.
Yeah.
Is what
of course it
does. Salts the wound.
Of course it does.
We are really
the appetizer to the main course, Bo.
Of course.
You know,
yeah.
One thing
I will say about us, too, where it comes to the best damn band, we are it's the only place I've ever been, and as documented, I've seen a lot of big-time college football games at various places over this country. It's the only place I've ever been where nobody moves at halftime because the band's coming.
Oh, of course. It's the only place I've ever been where everyone raises to their feet when the band comes out.
Yep. Yeah, when the band comes out before the game, all the seats are full for the band.
Yep.
There's no other place that I've been that's like that, and there's a lot of big bands. There's no other place like it. Honestly, the most similar apple for apples is probably HBCUs, like Florida A&M, the Marching 100. Like, they had that where it was even more of it, where it was the only thing they were there for is the band. Like, some of those big classic games, when they play, like, the Florida Classic against Bethune-Cookman, they would fill the Citrus Bowl, and then as soon as they were done with the halftime, it'd empty out. The football was... second tier to the band for Florida A&M.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
NCAA survived this. And bubble basketball? Plus, we have a schedule of games on CBS for the SEC. Wild times, these kids. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's First Friday Somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, final hour here on a Tuesday. You see this SEC football schedule on CBS is out?
I did see that, yes.
Little hype video. Just the bitter,
the so bitter
taste in your mouth. I did see that, yes.
Yeah.
So you'll get Mississippi State at LSU on Saturday, September 26th, Texas A&M at Alabama on the 3rd, SEC Game of the Week, so they'll see who's good. Georgia at Bama in prime time on the 17th of October. They'll have another Game of the Week on the 24th, LSU at Auburn on the 31st, Florida-Georgia on November 7th, Alabama at LSU on Saturday, November 14th. Three more games of the week where basically they'll see who's good and who's not. I will watch all of this. You know what I came to the conclusion of, and I will love it? What I came to the conclusion of in the first hour when we were talking about the Big Ten, and it's been kind of a theme for the last 3 weeks, you know, here on the program, is that we are unlike many of the teams in our league.
Yes.
That as an athletic department, as a football program, that we are more in line with the SEC than we are with the teams in our league, the majority of the teams in our league, who voted 11-3 to not play football. Okay? So, and if you know, I mean, the idea that the Big Ten would lie in an affidavit when the lawyer for the Big Ten, the chief lawyer for the Big Ten is a former U.S. attorney, that they would lie in an affidavit is nonsensical. So it was that's your vote, 11-3. It was us, it was Iowa, and it was Nebraska that voted for. It wasn't 8-6. It was pretty conclusive. And we are unlike the other teams in our league, that we don't really fit them. We fit them from an academic profile. We fit them from a big state U up north profile. We fit them in a, you know, big hospital on campus profile. We do not fit them academically. We do not have the same ideals. Doug said this a couple of weeks ago with us. We're the only one that wakes up every Saturday and says this is for a national championship. Penn State's probably close to that. Michigan probably aspires to that, but I don't know if it's in their heart of hearts, as proven by them voting not to play.
I'll say this. Penn State says it in the sense of we can't lose this weekend because if we can only beat OSU.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, that's so true. they have that feeling of, shoot, if we lose this weekend, if we get upset ever, you know, but we're also the only school that, like, there's no fear of Ohio State losing unless it's at Happy Valley right now. I mean,
that's right.
And that's just that's general. Like, that's the one location in the entire conference, whiteout situation, to where you're like, okay, now things start to get a little closer. Other than that, okay, at the big house, at home, who cares? Who cares?
Other than that, it feels fluky if you lose, right?
Yes.
It's the only one where
yourself.
You go, okay. Yeah, yes. You blew it. You blew it. Yeah. I can still see Rondale Moore running. This is what I was going to say.
That's
this
so
is
true.
my my conclusion
on
this.
What were we doing on defense? You just derailed the whole segment.
That's not good. See, that's what can't happen on the eighth-year-old CYL. We can't have that, man.
No.
That's why we devised this plan. What I was going to say is this. Here's the reality. I don't care about the rest of this league. Truly.
Right.
You work for BTN, so you go to these games and you study these teams left and right. And I'll be very candid with you guys. I don't watch the rest of this league other than the games we play in or the instances where Penn State, Michigan plays a team of similar – plays Wisconsin.
Right.
Bo Bishop is not sitting down to watch Iowa and Minnesota. I'm not watching Nebraska and Illinois. It doesn't. If I have to pick between that and an SEC game, I'll take the SEC. If I have to watch that or Oklahoma against Oklahoma State, I'll watch that. It's the talent in this league is just not there week in and week out through 14 teams the way that it is, especially in the SEC. So that's the one thing that I've kind of learned with, I've come to grips with over the course of the last 3 weeks, is number one, we are We are on an island. The only other teams on the island with us are Nebraska and Iowa, and unfortunately, because of geographical circumstances and just an inability to attract the bluest of blue-chip talent, especially at the skill positions, certainly Iowa's done a fantastic job in the trenches, they are never going to be teams that are competing for national titles. So we're one of one in our league. That's what I've learned over the last 3 weeks. And that when I think about this league in general, we have nothing in common with Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, Illinois, Minnesota, Rutgers, Maryland. We don't have anything in common with them, with Iowa, with Nebraska, with Wisconsin, with Michigan State. We have something kind of in common with Penn State and historically with Michigan. But beyond that, there just isn't the same thought process where athletics is concerned. And I don't know what can change, buddy. Probably nothing.
Well, not
but
football.
We've been bit by this.
Least,
we got. You know, we really got bitten by this.
I think that's the thing. Is it's when you talk about the pure football conversation, it's one on one. You know, we are one on one in our conference. Now, when you go to the other sports, I think that's what athletic directors weigh, right? Because I'm sure,
no question,
Michigan State looks at us, looks at the other, and they say, you know, we're really the big dog in college basketball. Although there's way more parity. It's not apples to apples, their domination of the Big Ten compared to what Ohio State has been in football. Not at all. But we talk about...
No, and there have been others that popped up.
Yes,
I mean, Michigan has played for national titles. Ohio State has gotten to the Final Four.
Yes.
While we haven't won... The Big Ten hasn't won national titles in basketball. There have been teams... Indiana's been a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, Wisconsin's played for national championships in the last 15 years. So, there's been a bunch of teams in this league and the other sports that have contended. Football, though, it's an island of one.
It is. It is. Now, in every other sport, you would argue... it's probably more well balanced. I'm ignorant to. I know we've dominated in things like tennis and swimming, but I think there's only 8 synchronized swimming programs in the country. But anyway, we're one of them. But rowing is very well. Like I think when you're an athletic director, you look at all of your programs. Now, obviously, the main moneymaker is football. So when you're Ohio State, we're one of one, right? But when in totality, our athletic program is extremely healthy. Maybe other sports were in line with those conferences, and maybe everything's a lot more competitive in other sports. But in the main moneymaker, and the one that the majority of your fans and people rally around in football, we are by and large extremely different. Opening week, I mean, I'll never forget opening day at Ryan Field. They're playing University of New Mexico, Las Vegas is Northwestern. I'm on the game, and it was like basically like high school band day. So like bands and them actually came free, and it still wasn't even halfway sold out. Like half the people there were invited by the Northwestern for free, you know, and it still wasn't even half full on a beautiful 70-some degree day in Evanston. Not that there was a lot of hype, but it was like one of the first games Hunter Johnson was going to play. Like, you know, it was like, regardless, it was a football Saturday in a Big Ten city. You'd think, okay, yeah, nope, not even close to halfway full. And so just as a culture and what football means to the campus, I think it's Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, and Penn State. I mean, I can say Penn State because I've done games at Penn State, 3:30 or a nooner. You know, I've done the Penn State, Michigan State where it wasn't a whiteout. And it fills up, you know. Now, it's not nearly the same as Ohio State, Penn State. But in all fairness, you know, Ohio State, Illinois isn't the same as Ohio State, Penn State in the shoe, you know, if someone was visiting both.
Yeah.
So, regardless, I just think the longer what's happened under Urban and then now Ryan is you've realized there's such a distinct gap. And the only people that are even worth mentioning just for the sake of the conference are Penn State. I don't even know if Michigan's there anymore.
Actually look at that rivalry between us and them as kind of a bigger
picture of the
microcosm
Ten.
For the league.
Yeah.
That we have, you know, we lap them, and yet it still seems like we care more about it, that we hate them more than they hate us, even though we own them.
You know what it like is? I think we respect the game of football more than maybe other universities.
Well, it matters more here. It's the slogan of the SEC. It just matters more. We are more similarly aligned with Alabama and the teams that I covered in the South, Florida and Florida State, and Clemson and LSU and Georgia. we are more similar to – we fit more with that ideology from a football standpoint by far than we do than the rest of this
Even
league.
Even though we've owned it and we've owned the conference, if we lose that game, if we lose any game, despite all of our success over the last decade, two decades, whatever you want to call it, we lose any game and our first instinct is, what the hell happened? That's not acceptable. This is crap. They lose a game. It's, oh, okay. Well, back to our beautiful halls and our nice little classrooms. And we're Michigan, leaders of the West. Like, there's not that angry, vile, I want to throw up, I can't believe we just lost. That doesn't exist at maybe any other school but Penn State and Nebraska. Now, Nebraska's had to vile and throw up way too much, right? Like, they're beaten to a point where their pride's
hurt.
They
just can't. Yeah.
You know, and they just can't anymore. But that vile anger of losing up there, I just don't sense it. Like, that fan base has gone from that somewhere, Bo, to a place of, yeah, I think we're where we should be. You know, 9-3 every night. I mean, 10-2. Look, Jim's won 10 games. Okay, great. Yeah. You know what? Hang that participation trophy. Oh, you already have. Big Ten East co-champs. That's what losers
do. They're okay with hanging it.
Right.
They're okay
with
hanging
being
it.
Close.
Like, I think they understand where they are.
That's a loser's mentality,
compete.
Bo. That's
it
a
is.
Loser's mentality.
It is. There's no question. But that's what they are. They are losers. They've won twice in 20 years. So they are. You know, forever they were viewed to compare against us. We've lapped them. We've left them in the dust for two decades. Like, that's how long it is. You bring up Penn State. A buddy of mine, great friend of mine, Penn State alumnus. And even he is quick to acknowledge, like, it means so much to him. And they are really similar to Nebraska in terms of, like, and it's a tough place to get to. Like, it's not like there's 3 million people around the campus. It's a tough place to get to. We know that. You can't fly in there, all of that.
It's a tough drive.
It's impossible fly. It really stinks. Even if you live in PA, it's tough. So it's tough for their alumni to get back. But they still show up. But they also have an understanding of where they are. That in a perfect storm, they might beat Ohio State once. But the expectation there is not to beat Ohio State twice in 5 years. It's once in five.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, when they lose to us, they're like, all right, that's fine. Let's get to the Rose Bowl. Like, Penn State's idea is, let's be competitive against Ohio State. Let's try and get to the Rose Bowl if Ohio State's in the playoff. That's kind of their thinking.
Yep.
We're the only one
again,
where the
we'll
idea
beat
is.
And we'll get into the playoff, right? Like, every once in a while.
Yeah, that's certainly when we have
where
they've
the
had
South,
special teams with a ton of talent.
And the South, Florida and Georgia, that's not their attitude to each other. Like, Florida doesn't say, oh, I hope to beat Georgia once in 5 years.
No.
Or vice versa.
It's not that way at LSU. It's not that way at Texas A&M. It's not that way at Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia. That's six of them. You could argue the two Mississippi teams who were ranked number one in the original college football playoff poll, Mississippi State was. Like, that's what they aspire to.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. And we're more in line with that. And that's never been more clear than the last month, that we are a bit on an island. And the two teams fighting with us are Iowa and Nebraska. And they have a similar thought process than we do. But the vast majority in this league do not.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's been made plainly clear over the course of the last month. Can the NCAA survive this? And in the meantime, bubble basketball? Bubble lacrosse coming too? Yeah. We'll get to all of that coming
bubble
up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis is right here on The Fan.
If you miss a Buckeye game, it's because your radio is in tune to the right place. Always and forever, your home for the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destiny. Two men complaining about first world problems.
You're not getting the point, kid.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right. So the football is its own issue. And we start talking about the basketball. Now, the NCAA makes nothing off of football. Not a dime. So their money, well, I guess from the FCS playoffs, I suppose, their money comes from hoops and the NCAA tournament. And they missed a tournament. And that's a big miss from a financial standpoint. That's an enormous miss not to deliver that. And they said, you know what? Or are saying, you know what? We're not going to miss another one. So this was revealed yesterday that the NCAA has applied to trademark the phrase "battle in the bubble." They're interested in putting it on apparel, the clothing items, footwear, trademark the phrase, could go live with
better,
athletic
better
contests, games,
everybody.
Tournaments, and exhibition. The NCAA's television, radio, multimedia programs around those events, a list of clothing items, the NCAA's application include athletic uniforms. So this would take the place of March Madness. If you didn't know, if you own a business and you wanted to do a March Madness sale, you can't. You can't do a March Mayhem sale. You can't do any of that stuff because the NCAA owns it and trademarks it and profits off it tremendously.
Battle so in the bubble. You better bubble it all, baby.
Well, you hit it. You hit it. You better bubble it all because if you're going to play football, then as we know, you've got to – or basketball, rather, you have to play all of it. You got to play all of it. And
women's basketball, women's tennis, women's soccer. Hey, over here, we need Title IX. We need a battle.
How are they
the
going
too.
To decide? How are they going to go about deciding which teams get to make it to the bubble to play? How is it safe to play if it's unsafe to play this fall in the non-revenue sports as the NCAA has doomed? They canceled all fall sports. If it's unsafe to do that, I would love to hear how it's safe to play basketball. Starting, I mean, we're a little more than a month from the start of practice.
Yeah.
November, end of October, November, you're talking about the start of college basketball. So if all that's the case, how is it safe to play? How are you going to play basketball and you can't play the fall sports? Yeah. Forget football. Take it out of it.
So NCAA fall championships that were canceled, right? They canceled all fall championships. So that's cross country. That's field hockey. That's football, soccer, men's and women's volleyball, water polo, if you're into that. Winter sports, though. All right, this is what this falls under with men's basketball, women's basketball. So you got ice hockey, men and women's. What about rifle? What about fencing, men
and
women's?
Pretty easy to bubble.
There's fencing, you know, like, right. You better bubble everybody.
Got to bubble it all, man.
Bubble it all. Indoor track and field.
Yep.
Better make sure we're all in this little bubble environment. Wrestling. I mean,
financially, how could you ever do it?
I don't know.
How could you
That's
ever
for them to
do
figure
all this?
Out. They're supposed to answer the big questions. They don't, but they're supposed to answer those.
I do wonder if this will all be too much for them to come back from. Like, where's the war chest to pay for all of this? If they miss a second college basketball tournament, who's paying all these salaries?
Right.
In the NCAA. I mean, they've gotten rich off of these kids.
Yeah, they have.
For all this time. Like, who's going to make... And as we talked about with Ohio State with the football model, the same is true in basketball. I remember talking to Gordon Gee about this almost a decade ago. Like, why are we splitting, as members of the Big Ten Conference, why are we splitting the revenue with everybody who plays Division I?
Right.
Why are we splitting with teams in the American or the CAA or the MEAC or MAC or whatever? Why would we split with them? Why wouldn't we just keep all the money? The reason there's the money in the college basketball tournament is because of us in Carolina and Kansas and Kentucky and Duke and UCLA. Yep. That's why CBS pays the money. Yeah, we love it. Make no mistake. You love a first weekend NCAA tournament Cinderella story. You don't even mind a second round. A second weekend NCAA
but
Cinderella
nobody
story.
Everyone wants to see the Blue Bloods in the Final Four. They all want
Nobody
to see
wants
yep.
Virginia and Texas Tech playing for a national championship. No one wants George Mason in a Final Four. Why do you think Jim Nance is always on the Duke games or the Kentucky games? He's always in those regions. Because those are the ones that make it worth the while to pay what they pay. That's why CBS and TNT pay what they play, is because the steady diet of Kentucky and Kansas and Duke and Carolina and Michigan State and Ohio State, UCLA. That's why. So why are we sharing?
Yeah.
And if the NCAA, the idea that the NCAA could somehow, even in the non-revenue sports, govern Ohio State the same way it does Murray State, that's impossible.
Yep.
They have different needs. They have different restrictions, different abilities, drastically so.
I want to know the first school who gets like sanctioned by NCAA violations, especially in football. I should just say, no, go to hell.
Had that, not so overt, but we've had some of that.
Should be super overt now for
prove it.
You don't even determine the championship here. You have no control to shut down conferences. Yeah. You let three play and two shut down. So no, I'm not going to listen to your little advice here. I think it's embarrassing that we ever gave it up for tattoos.
At the time, we were naive. Sure. That was a time. I mean, boy, both us and Penn State, and those obviously very, very, very different things. I'm not combining them from the standpoint of the actions, merely saying that both of those things were, yes, sir, may I have another. Punish me all you want. Take anything you want. That was the way we viewed it. We'll give you everything. Here's everything. Here's what we did. Be compliant. From that point, and really us, we were the shining example of this, of from a negative standpoint, because everybody else after that basically said, prove it. Prove it. And we didn't. We panicked with Tress on the cover of Sports Illustrated in May, by the way, in a story that there was really nothing new to. There's nothing new in it. And we panicked, and we ran him out. Would you run him out now? No.
Yeah.
But that was the time. That was the time. And since then, in the nearly, it's hard to believe it's been that long, but in the nearly decade plus, since then, you've pushed back and you've said, prove it. I mean, it's been two seasons since Sean Miller, he coached the rest of that season and all of last year. Like the Kansas stuff with Bill Self, prove it. North Carolina basketball, prove it. And even when there is proof, it doesn't matter.
Right.
they don't get hit. You know? So I just wonder, like, can they – they've been able to pull this card game off, this house of cards off for a lot of years. Are they still going to be able to do it, maintain the amateurism, maintain the limited liability? Can they pull that off across all
– Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sports. I think you can in basketball alone, but unfortunately, they're not pros, so they all have to be treated the same. And I have a hard way finding the roadmap for that. Adam Jardy covers the Buckeyes for the Dispatch and been around college sports a long time. We'll run some of this by him coming up next. Listen to Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Can't get enough Buckeyes? We've got you covered. The Buckeye Show. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. A linebacker and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Boy, it never ceases to amaze what will come across your Twitter feed. This from President Trump, had a very productive conversation with Kevin Warren, commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, about immediately starting up Big Ten football would be good, parentheses, great for everyone, players, fans, country. On the 1 yard line, he tweets out. Austin Ward with this information saying primary issue for getting rapid testing from new government stockpile. It's awesome. If this is pulled off, of course, it would have to go to all the fall sports. Not just football. The testing would have to go to all the fall sports because you have to keep that part of it up. These are interesting times we're in. Let's head on the Pride Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Adam Jarvie covers Buckeye basketball for the Dispatch, but has been covering big time college athletics here for a very, very long time. Adam, I just read the tweet from the president. Like, it's the amateurism part too, right? Like, it's got to be everything. It can't just be football.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that what they will draw the line with, or what they'll be able to say to sort of cover that track, is that no one is going to be forced to do anything. Whether we're talking a bubble, whether we're talking resuming play amid the pandemic, no one's going to be made to do anything. So if you say, you know what, yeah, my team is scheduled to resume action, but I don't feel comfortable doing it, you're still going to have your scholarship. You're still going to have an opportunity to compete next year. And so they can, you know, they're not dictating or mandating anybody do anything.
So, Adam, what's your view? Like, if this is so out, I guess it's every conference for themselves when it comes to football. What's the expectation for basketball right now? I mean, it feels like it's really not that far away.
Right.
Everything's moving so quickly. Just what's if the NCAA and just all of college football can't get on the same page? I'm assuming that out west, the Pac-12 ain't playing college basketball or winter sports. I don't know what this will do to the Big Ten and all that, but I'm wondering, it kind of feels like football was the king. It was the main moneymaker for a lot of these athletic programs, and you felt, gosh, if they can't do that, then how are they going to do anything through what's assuming, people are assuming is going to be a worse season with the flu and all that. How on earth are you going to do athletics then? What's your optimism for a winter basketball season for college?
I have a lot of optimism that there's going to be a season, and I feel confident in saying there's going to be an NCAA tournament. And a lot of that comes from, as we've seen this thing go on, and we've seen the different sports kind of react, college basketball, by and large, has acted sort of together. I mean, I've talked to different people throughout the sport across the country who have told me about, like, different coaches in completely different conferences all working together and coming up with plans and formulating ideas on how, if we have to do a bubble, here's how we can do it with these teams and these teams, and we can bring in, you know, teams that need bye games. And, like, there's a very strong collaborative feel within college basketball that I honestly don't feel exists in college football. I think college basketball coaches and administrators and the NCAA understand how vital it is that they have a season and that they have a tournament, and they're doing everything they can collaboratively to make sure that it happens.
Well, and the common denominator, though, as you mentioned, Adam, is the NCAA, that they all play in the NCAA tournament. Football does not.
Right.
So football is, you know, in that sense, is completely on its own in individual conferences, where basketball is all together. Okay, you're going to bubble the tournament. I think that's pretty easy to do. The NBA has shown you're able to do that. How do you foresee bubbling a season, and how do you do that without suggesting that it's necessary? And if you suggest and acknowledge that it's necessary, aren't you also acknowledging that they are different from regular students and different than the rest of the student athletes? And then in that turn, aren't you then saying they're pros?
To an extent, yes. The counter that I would say to that is that what you're going to be doing with these, I mean, yeah, they'll be theoretically on a campus somewhere, you know, taking their classes and things like that. But most of these students this year are going to be taking a lot of online classes anyway. So honestly, like, being confined to a bubble for a period of time so you can play X number of games won't be all that drastically different from the average student's experience. So I think in that way, it won't be like crazy different. But what they do have working for them is the fact that, you know, these campuses, by and large, are going to have significant periods where there's not going to be anybody around. I mean, college basketball deals with this already anyway, where they're playing games through December and everybody's home. So you're going to have these windows of opportunity where you're going to be able to say, you know what, if we feel comfortable that X number of teams are up on their testing and are following safety protocols where we're not endangering ourselves or possibly spreading this amongst our team, then we can bring seven teams to campus and we can play four games in 10 days, and then everybody goes home, and then you break, and then you test, and you do it again. I think that's an imminently doable, and I think especially I've heard from a lot of coaches in the last 2-3 weeks that these advances we're hearing about in testing, this rapid testing, that's going to be a game changer, because a lot of these schools, like these lower level schools in Division I, don't have the money to constantly be testing at the rate of an Ohio State. But if they can get cheap, affordable testing that's accurate, that's a game changer, and that makes it much more likely that you can see a Morehead State or a Towson still end up playing in Ohio State this year.
Yeah, and Adam, it's not just basketball either, right? You got to talk about women's ice hockey. You got to go through all of this. So do you believe that these – it's the same thing that we're dealing with football right now, right? It's just – and credit the SEC. Even with no fall championships, Alabama's soccer is still playing a conference-only season.
They're doing it. They're keeping
avoid the amateurism thing and keep that illusion up. But you mentioned those smaller D1 schools, right? Like, this is all going to basically depend on that rapid test and the inexpensive test, because how do you –
Yep.
And then, Adam, do you feel like, and I think we're seeing it in real time with North Carolina, I guess is my question. North Carolina's dealing with the fact that their football team's practicing, yet the students are home, and what that looks like. Now, common sense would say, hey, that's actually better social distancing, right? Like, there's not students on campus, and the team's just around each other. It's kind of a pseudo-bubble without calling it right now, facility and home. Now, do you think that they continue to handle that PR through a full winter? I know they're used to playing through breaks and all that as well, but aren't you admitting that these athletes are then that much more important than the average students? And, you know, are you opening up a can of worms?
Yeah, you absolutely are. I mean, that's one. I think that issue is just going to keep sort of. There's so many things. It's just so multi-layered as far as how this can work and what it will look like. But I think that's going to continue to prop up as we get further and further along into this. Because, yeah, I mean, if you've got these athletes on campus and the rest of the campus is completely shut down for 3 months or something like that, then it becomes pretty clear, like, these guys, these girls, whoever, they're all different from the normal student athlete, and we can't pretend otherwise. But again, I think what they will try to use, and the argument you're going to hear a lot, is that nobody's being forced to do anything, and if they still want to remain on scholarship and they want to go home and not participate, then we're going to honor those requests. And I do think you did mention this, but there are definitely cases, lots of cases, where these guys are better off on a campus, where they have access to testing and medical facilities,
sure,
and proper nutrition, and just, I mean, we all know, and James, I'm sure you know better than any of us, like, the backstories of some of these guys and these athletes and where they come from. I mean, being on a campus where you're surrounded by a support system can be significantly better for them. So I do think it's easy to sort of throw that out as a nice, like, little PR piece for the NCAA, but I do think there's some realness to that.
No question. This was never about health and safety. They're not going to be healthier or more safe than inside the bubble of major college athletics when you think about the guys that we cover with football and basketball at Ohio State. What is Chris Holtmann doing right now with his team? When's the last time you've seen him? What's he planning to do with them?
Well, I haven't seen him since March, but I mean, I've spoken to him since then, obviously. And so right now they're sort of in that process of reacclimating back and getting through all their testing and everything. All the players got back to campus. It's been like a week and 2 days because classes started on the 25th. So they went home on July 31st. They had like 3 weeks at home. They got back. And so before you can start sort of using facilities and doing workouts and things like that, you have to go through about 2 weeks of testing and things like in training and reacclimation. And that's what they're doing right now. And then they can start sort of working their way into getting ready for whenever the season's going to start.
It's amazing.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
It's amazing times we live in. Adam, thank you so much for your time, bud. Good to hear from you again.
Always great to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's our buddy Adam Jordy on the basketball and on the NCAA and everything else. Look, normally we do three things last, but I think, you know, when the President of the United States is tweeting about the Big Ten and they're on the one-yard line, it probably requires a little bit of attention, so we will give it some coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Season ticket holder from day one, us too. Now and forever, your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destiny. A show that knows its limitations.
You'll learn to control that.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, final segment here on a Tuesday. Typically, we hit three things, but I think when the number one topic discussed on this show for the last, 25 weeks has been, will the Big Ten play football? And we've dealt with everything we've dealt with for the last 3 weeks. And then you have the President of the United States here in the last half hour saying, quote, tweeting, quote, had a very productive conversation with Kevin Warren, commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, about immediately starting up Big Ten football would be good, parentheses, great for everyone, players, fans, country, on the one-yard line. I assume that the same would happen to the Pac-12. If he was going to do it for the Big Ten, that he would have the same rules. Whatever applies to the Big Ten, I assume they would also apply to the Pac-12 if those schools would want
to
play.
If the Pac-12 were open. I'm not so sure the Pac-12 is open. I'm not so sure what...
sure the Big Ten's open.
What was their votes? I mean...
Right.
Here's the thing.
Here's real quick.
There's a lot of swing states in the Big Ten.
Of course.
And this is Trump trying to make a play to be like, I saved football for you, Michigan, Ohio,
Pennsylvania,
Wisconsin.
The election comes through this part of the country. Yeah.
So... He can't win the election without winning Ohio, by the way. No Republican has won
the
office without Ohio.
I don't care that it is. I really don't. I what I want is Ohio State football back.
Yes.
And I want to, one other thing that I want to say is when we talk about amateurism on this show, when we talk about the hurdles between playing or not, I'm doing that to be honest to you, the listener. I could sit here and paint a picture of just bring football back and there's no other consequences to it. And frankly, right, that's what I don't truly. I am very appreciative of the fall non-revenue sports and the athletes and the work that they put in, and I respect the hell out of them. I just don't care about watching it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I care about is Ohio State football. That's what I want to watch, is Ohio State football. That enhances my life. With all due respect to the effort that's put together in the non-revenues, it's not something that I pay attention to. So when we talk about amateurism, that's to give you a real picture of the hurdles that are still in place. So when you hear about this, and I saw Austin Ward tweeting about this, the rapid testing and all that stuff, the rapid testing would have to go across all other sports. If it doesn't, amateurism. If it doesn't, it's hard to find a way. Now, this president,
you can make that political,
he's not
as well.
Care.
No, you can make that political as well. You should say, I believe these guys should be paid. I think it should be a free market, open market. It's the same president who said, when asked about NBA teams getting testing before the general public, he said, and because of privilege or whatever, he kind of said, well, it's basically the way society works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that was his response, was like...
And that would be the same thing here.
Yes.
So
he could be saying...
If this helps football come back, then I'm for it.
And I would wholeheartedly... I have no idea what he would say to that, right? If he gets... I don't even know if he'd be asked about it. There's a lot bigger issues going on right now than the Big Ten playing. Now, it's big in our world, and I would love to have it, and I'm all for it. But I don't really care what his response would be. He might say, look, yes, football programs should get first priority testing. Why? They make the most money. He might say that and just call it right out the way it is. And no one would... I mean, you'd be like, okay, well, that's not fair under NCAA. Okay, well, that's reality, right? I'm speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he would say that. If anybody would, he'd probably be the guy. All I know is that you're tweeting, it's at the 1 yard line. You're giving a lot of hope to a lot of fan bases. Mm-hmm. A lot of hope to a lot of fan bases. And
by the way,
I still think if this thing, if it turns around, and I'm not really, I would feel much more comfortable if it was, you know, Trump on the call with all 14 presidents in the Big Ten. Like, I'm not sure the commissioner has the power or the clout to just call back all 14 on a Zoom call and say, hey, I talked to Trump. Here's what I think. Like, he's not Delaney. At the end of the day,
no.
Delaney may have had that power. But
no, he doesn't. I agree with you.
He doesn't have
this
that
is
power.
More of a conversation that would have to take place between the president and all the university presidents. And the university presidents have their university's best interest. That's the job. The university's not just the football program's, university's best interest at heart. And so it would take a tremendous turn. Now, this president would be somebody who would certainly try to get that things done, and I hope that he can pull it off. Because, see, we're lucky here, guys. And honestly, and more me probably than you, because you're an alumnus, where I don't have that. I didn't go to school here, so I don't have that. But what my affinity for is for the football program and the men's basketball program, because those are the things that I've gotten closest to over the last decade plus, right? I haven't. The university at large, I didn't go here. So I don't have that. So I don't need to, I don't concern myself personally with the mess that comes with bringing back only football.
Right.
The reason we talk about it on the show is because I'm not up here pandering you, you know, pandering and painting a fairy tale for you. We're doing it to give you a realistic picture about what the hurdles are. And it's not fantasy land. Okay, because it's a multi-billion dollar industry that's built on the model of amateurism. And if you're going to have that crumble, you can do it, but you have to take what comes with that. And that's the professional athlete part of it, acknowledging that. Now, I don't think that this president really cares about that.
No.
I don't. He's in the middle of a campaign, and he's trying to get reelected in November.
Yes, and I think this is something that where he's trying to... now, who knows if it even, you know, works. He's so damn polarizing, and I don't think that's the conversation, but he's so damn polarizing, there'd be a lot of fans that would say, thank you, but I ain't changing my vote. You know, but
yeah.
But in his eyes, if he can get a few more votes after opening
especially
this
in
up,
these states.
And opening up the national stockpile, then it makes all the sense of the world. The reason why I say that versus the Pac-12 is that most of those out there are so blue anyway. He knows it ain't even worth it.
No swing states.
You don't see him. You don't
Arizona,
see him
maybe.
Campaigning out there, you know, in California. There's no need.
Oh, no. No.
You know, I'm not going to waste my time. So that's why I said that the Big Ten coming back would be, look, if you can get this thing restarted up, you know, in October, first week in October, or even mid-October, it gives you a realistic chance of accomplishing all your hopes and dreams as a Buckeye. But if this thing's waiting until after Thanksgiving, then you can say bye, Justin. You can say bye, Sean, and
there's plenty of time for it, by the way.
There is time
for October.
For it. It's September 1st.
There's plenty of time.
You got a whole month.
No
but this
question.
It would also be a shock because you didn't even let your players on their own teams and their own guidelined little bubbles, you know, for lack of a better term, do contact practice with one another. You even let them put the pads on. And you're going to go from that to playing October 1? It's just, I don't know. If it's a huge reversal like that, I think... I don't know. You feel like Kevin Warren's handled it so poorly, it's fireable. But then again, it wasn't solely his decision, right? It was 11-3, but he just handled it so poorly.
He'd take the fall.
So much better. Yeah. Of course,
he would have to take the fall for any reversal, and the presidents would have to put it all on him and say, you know, that he guided them and
it's
all of that.
It's amazing that this has entered into politics. You know, the crazy thing is that the NCAA could have had real leadership and actually directed and steered this whole thing. And instead, just like a name, image, and likeness, just like what's going to happen with unionization of these players eventually, what's going to happen with all of this is that it's coming from Washington.
Yep.
During the middle of a pandemic, of all things.
Yep. Nope, not proactive at all.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's unreal. Sit back it's disappointing. You solve our problems.
You know, I know you're dealing with the pandemic and you're dealing with, you know, all this and a death rate and all, you know, you're dealing with it all, you know. I know you're under the gun and all that, but gosh, I think name, image, and likeness, you guys need to figure it out for us.
Yeah.
Antitrust and all that crap. I mean,
what a time to be alive.
Yep.
Rothman and Ice going to guide you through the next 3 hours. They're going to have a lot on their plates, but I trust them to handle it. Going to be fun. Listen, we're back tomorrow for more fun. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Sports Center. Good afternoon. I'm Matt Andrews. In the NHL, Tampa Bay into Boston season last night. 3-2 in doubled overtime. Lightning win the series 4-1. Colorado's still alive after a 6-3 win over Dallas. Dallas up 3-2. Tonight, the Islanders can end their series with the Flyers face off at 7. That's a 3-1 series. And Vegas can do the same with a win over Vancouver at series 3-1. Vegas, they'll play tonight at 9:45. Tis the Law draws post 17. He's the favorite to win the Kentucky Derby. It'll run Saturday at Churchill Downs. A likely second choice art collector scratched due to a minor foot injury. Tonight, the NBA bubble in Orlando. Game 2, Eastern Conference Semis. Boston and Toronto Celtics up 1-0. And at 7 in the first round of the West, winner take all. Utah and Denver at 8:30. Royals and Indians again tonight from Kansas City. Reds and Redbirds in Cincinnati tonight at 6:40. Breaking sports news on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.